This is tape number 4 of a 12-tape sermon series given by Pastor Chang in California. The topic of this series is Keys to a Victorious Spiritual Warfare. I thought I'm done with this topic on dealing with the old self, to put ourselves to death on the cross. I thought I'm done with the topic, but somehow I think the Lord has given me one more session to be focused on this particular aspect of the self. And a short while back, I read this short story, which is a touching story. He's a teenager, young teenager boy, and he had this very bad car accident. Because of this car accident, he lost his left arm, left forearm, he lost it. But after that, he just went to this yoga kung fu master to be his student, to learn some martial arts. And the funny thing of this teaching, of the teaching of this master is, he just sort of like looked at this young boy, talked to him, and after he thought a while, he said, well, you only need to learn one particular routine. Just concentrate on this routine and practice on this routine. Try to make perfect of this routine. To try to be good at this particular routine, and that's all you need. And that's how he did. That's how he did. Without too much of understanding, he followed the instructions. He went ahead. He worked very hard in this particular routine, and he became pretty good at it. And then later on, and the yoga master sent him to this tournament, and he went to this tournament, and he just went through all different phases, different rounds. Out of each round, he conquered. At the final round, which is the decision of the champion. And he had a very strong and tough opponent, and he had a hard time with it. But finally he remembered, and the teacher told him, you need to concentrate on a few important aspects, and in particular a few twists of this routine. And if you really use that very wisely and concentrate on what you do, you should be victorious, which he did. And he ended up the champion. So he asked his, after this tournament, he asked his master, he said, teacher, could you tell me why I just concentrated on only one routine? And this seems very monotonous, and that's the only skill I'm good at, but why I just ended up gaining this championship? And the teacher just replied was, because you concentrate on one routine, you are expert in this routine, you have perfected in this routine. On the contrary, any opponent wants to just bring you down because of your skill, because of your routine you are using to fight against your opponent. The opponent need to grab hold of your left hand because you don't have it. That's why. So, this story really just touched my heart. The young boy might as well complain, Lord, why did you give me this car accident? Why did you take my left arm away? Why did you make me a disabled, disformed person now? What can I do? What am I going to do with my life? What hope do I have for my future? Another thing this boy might end up with, because he lost his forearm, he may be just concentrating on his loss all the time. And because of his loss, he can just brew on his loss. He can complain about his loss. He can grumble against his loss. He can even just sort of like feel depressed because of his loss, because of his disability. And he can even complain to his teacher. He said, well, I do not have a left hand. Now, what am I going to do? And you are only teaching me this one routine. And it's so boring. And it's so mechanical. It's so monotonous. Why you just told me? Why you just taught me only one routine? And you are doing different things with different people. But with me, why? Why? You only do this for me. And you only taught me this. Why are you treating me differently? And because I'm disabled, why do you do better things with me? So he can complain like this all the time. So this boy might as well do all these things because of his disability, because of his loss, because he is simply different from others. And if he focused on his deficiency, if he focused on his weakness, if he focused on what he did not have instead of what he has, that's what, quite possible what he would be doing. So he could quite probably be ended up in the sense of self-pity, and he felt bad about himself, he felt hopeless about himself, all because of his loss, all because of his weakness. You know what, this sense of lack of self-respect, the sense of self-pity, sense of one person's loss, all these are the parts of ourselves that the evil one can set footing in us. The evil one can work in our areas to attack us. So we Christians can have a choice in front of us. When we face a tough situation, when we face a difficult or sufferings, all that in our lives, it depends on which way, which direction we choose to head for. If we choose to head for this disbalanced direction, this direction of feel self-pity, the direction of we just kind of give up, we just complain about our own fate of life, and if we do that, then we really open up ourselves to the Satan. So Satan can start to bring his army into our hearts, into our spirit to attack us. But as a matter of fact, we all know in that particular story, the teacher really knew what was good, what was best for this disabled boy. The teacher actually arranged, the teacher actually planned the best thing for the boy. Even though the boy lost his left arm, the teacher concocted some planning and some way of teaching him, educating him, and pushing him and training him to be the best person despite of his weakness, despite of his loss, despite of disability. So the teacher really knew how to work with this young boy. So the good thing, we all know the result of the story, the young boy did not complain. The young boy just obediently followed the teachings and instructions of the teacher. Then he ended up victorious. He ended up on the top. So the young boy did the right thing. He really did the right thing. He did not complain. He did not brood over his loss. He just did not complain about his faith. He did not complain against God. He did not complain against the teacher. He just silently, quietly obeyed the instructions, obeyed the plans the teacher had laid out for him. And that's because he did that, he ended up top. And it's also a very common thing happen to all of us in our lives. We have all sorts of weakness. We have our own deficiencies and shortcomings and weaknesses. And because of that, we can also have a lot of opportunities. We can open ourselves up to Satan so he can bring his army into us to establish his footing in us, to attack our old spirit. One example is many of us, when our mothers carried us, and when she got pregnant, she was unhappy. She did not want us because by the time when she was pregnant, she was very busy making a living. Probably when she had us, it was a very inconvenient time in her life. It was a very tough time in her life. It might be a very unhappy phase of her life. So she did not want us. She did not want to carry us. She did not even intend to have this pregnancy. For some reason, she had it. So oftentimes, when we grew up, when we were young, when we were kids, our mothers probably have told us, "Well, I did not want you. I want to abort you." And for some reason, I had you. Or sometimes our parents said something, even though it's bad, but it's quite often they said something along the line like that to us, And either father or mother said, well, I wanted to abort you, but somehow I changed my mind. Or I did not give birth to you. I just picked you up from the trash can. So let's turn to the passage of Bible, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 through 37. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our representable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body, and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So we all know, this passage tells us that according to the will of God Himself, He created each of us as a different part of the same body. So each part has its own function. It's designed for its purpose. This purpose is given by God. So you and I really need to study this passage very carefully. Yes, God created each and every one of us as a different, unique part of the body. The body, we all know it's the church. We are in this church. Each one of us, there is a purpose behind our existence in the church. So if we think we are a lesser part, God will give us a special honor and glory. So for those lesser parts, for those less honorable parts, God just gives these parts a special treatment. So that's why it is said, for those less honorable parts, God treats with special honor. The parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. Says the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. So do you think you are a lesser part? Do you think you are a part that's unpresentable? Then just have this understanding. God is to give you some special treatment. God is to give you some special honor which you don't think you have. So do you think you are in a bad spot? Do you think you are unhappy because of that, because you are not as gifted as other people? God said here, God promises here that He will give you a special treatment. He will give a special honor and glory to you. So if you think you are lesser part, if you think you are not honorable part as other people, then you should rejoice. You should be thankful to the Lord, because God is going to treat you specially. Well, again, like that story, because the young boy does not have his left forearm, so he came out. He came out victorious because he did not have one special weakness. Everybody, all the opponents want to get hold on. He did not have that. So the opponents rendered it just helpless and hopeless, so they all just failed before him. So if you have troubles in your life, you have problems in your life, maybe you have a failed marriage, maybe you have a failed career or business, then you just have this deep sense of lack of self-respect. And because you do not have this self-respect, and you think, well, you are the one who's got the worst lot, and you are the one who is really doomed, and you think you are the one so helpless, and you think you are the one nobody likes you, all that. So, but you know what? This kind of person with this sense of lack of self-respect, is the person really very destructive to the people around him. This kind of people are the people who cause the biggest trouble and the pain and the hurt and the suffering to the people around him or her. So Christian brothers, if we are the lesser part of the body, if you think you are a person who is not equipped with many gifts or talents, and if you think you do not have a lot of capabilities, just be thankful to the Lord. Just rejoice in God, because the Bible promises us here that God is going to treat this kind of lesser part of the body with a special honor. It's the promise by God. So when we are in some kind of a less than satisfactory situations and circumstances, just be alert. Be alert to what is happening to you. Then just come close to God. Draw yourself near to God, because God is especially planning something in your environment, in your life, in your circumstances, so you will be trained. You will be trained to be a better Christian. There's this helicopter pilot, and his job, he often did one job is he just transported those skits, those pamphlets, booklets, and other Christian literature to the remote areas. But one time he had this very bad accident, and the chopper caught on fire. And finally, the chopper just kind of had a forced landing. This pilot himself was badly burned, and he had a very badly burned face. Because of that, after his recovery, this face was permanently damaged. His appearance was damaged. So he carried this ugly face, and even very just a horrifying face with him wherever he goes. But he is a very good Christian, so he trusted in the Lord. So he started this new service is by visiting different hospitals, to visiting these dying patients in their deathbed. So he visited, he paid a lot of visitations to local hospitals, but one miracle happened. Because of the suffering he went through, because of his ugly face, because of his accident, these are his weaknesses, these are his painful experience and stories, because of that. So it became his advantage, and it worked in his advantage. So it was very easy, very just natural for him to preach the gospel to these patients in the hospital. So many, many patients were brought to God by this burned pilot. So that is really some story, really some story. It tells us, yes, sometimes we have weakness, we have the things we don't like in our lives, or we have something we don't like with our body, with our physical appearance, all that. But if we put our trust in the Lord can use these weaknesses. The Lord can use these shortcomings. And in this particular case, it's just like the story. The Lord really put to good use the disability, this bad appearance, the looks of this pilot, to his purpose. So that's what the Bible tells us. For those lesser parts, for these parts without honor, God is going to give special honor to these parts. So, Christian brothers, this is the lesson you and I need to learn. You and I need to set ourselves straight. We need to know which direction we should take when we have situations like this. We have problems like those, and we have shortcomings in our lives and in our personalities. We need to put our trust in the Lord. Never complain. Never grumble. Never just feel self-pity on the weaknesses, on your weaknesses, and on your on your lack of respect and lack of abilities, all that. We Christians need to be very careful, make this decision carefully and wisely. Otherwise, if we make the wrong decision, then we really open ourselves up for Satan to attack us. This is important. Christian brothers, this is very important. There's this English Christian, the English saint. He was blind. He was blind. So he prayed to God, God, just give me a thankful heart. Lord, just give me a thankful attitude. Yes, I'm blind. Lord, just use my blindness. Use my blindness. Put it to use. I don't know how, but you know, because you have all the wisdom. Just use my blindness to serve you. I just receive, willingly receive the blindness from you, because my blindness, if put in your hand, it can be a disguised blessing. It can be a blessing to myself. It can be a blessing to the people around me. So Lord, just come into my life. Use my blindness to serve you. So sometimes we were hurt and wounded in our lives along the way by many possible people. It can be our spouse, it can be our parents, it can be our children, it can be our relatives, our co-workers, all that. If that happened, we just pray to God. We leave it to the hands of God. God, help me. I'm hurt. I have this wound in my heart. Lord, come into my heart to heal me. At the same time, use my hurt, use my suffering to honor your name. So this is the important, this is the critical prayer you and I should always remember to pray when we are encountering suffering, when we are facing difficulties, when we are inflicted wounds by different people. We need to remember this prayer. This prayer will bring us up. This prayer will lift us up. This prayer will just change us. This prayer will bring the blessing from the Lord. This prayer will also just make our disabilities, to make our weaknesses, to turn it around into advantage for us. And it will make it an instrument, a tool in the hands of the Lord. So Lord can use this to spread His gospel, to spread His love to the people. So remember the story we said. The teacher only taught the young boy one routine. Then with the Christian, it's more or less the same thing. So we have been emphasizing in our church so often only one simple routine. One simple routine is to draw near God. To draw near God. Draw near God. That's the only simple routine. Every day of our life, particularly every morning when we open our eyes to start our day, let's draw near God. Let's spend some quiet time and quality time with God. Let's keep ourselves to draw ourselves into the presence of the Lord. Let our mind be focused on the Lord, on the Lord's blessing, on Lord's guidance, on Lord's truth, on Lord's word, and on Lord's work alone. So that's a very simple routine. That's a routine our church has been emphasizing for all of us, all our Christians. We need to go ahead. We need to take action. We need to start practicing this simple routine. But if this routine, we can really start it, this routine, we can stick it. If this routine, we can be persistent, we really practice very hard in this routine, then we can come out victorious. But unfortunately, often Christians, we do the other way around. Even though we are being taught over and over and over again, but we don't do it, then we become very weak, weak Christians, and we are so easy target for Satan to attack us. And just recently, just maybe a short couple of days ago, Lily among us, she had a bad car accident. The car was totaled. So the body shop said, well, there's no use. This car is total. They refuse to fix this car. So when she just received the result from the car auto shop and the insurance company, and her response was that the first thing uttered from her mouth, and she said, I trust the Lord has the best planning for this. The Lord has the best arrangement for me. So right after this car accident, she had pains in different parts of the body, like her neck, her back, and her waist, and her sides, and also her elbows, both hands, both arms, elbows, and she had pains in these different parts. So me and a few people from my church, we prayed for her. We prayed for her. During my prayer, I had this clear feeling, this very strong feeling is God will touch her. God will heal her. Because why? Because I had this feeling because she had such a strong, unwavering faith in the Lord. And she loved the Lord so much. So the very next day, the Lord just healed her and took away all the pains. Let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, 28 through 30. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, and He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. The most important verse we want to focus on is the first one. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. So the important thing, no matter what things we face, what things we encounter in our lives, do you love God? The important question you and I need to ask ourselves, do you love God? Do I love God? If I love God, or if I love God, it doesn't matter if my car is totaled. If I love God more than I love my new car, then this thing will work for my good. Even though the car is totaled, I know it will for my good. Even though I don't know how, I don't know why, but God said so. That's enough. As long as God says so, it's good enough. But if you do not ask yourself this question right away, do I love God? If you forget about the love of God, then your attention will be focused on, okay, how much cost me to fix the car? Okay, so what I'm going to do now, I lose my new car. What I'm going to do now, without car, how do I go to work? What I'm going to do now, I don't have the money to buy another car now. Even though the insurance company will pay me some money, but the money will never be enough to buy a new car. You can concentrate on these things will make you miserable. These things will make you unhappy. These things will make you complaining all the time. So it's very important. This verse tells us, if we love God, then all the things in our lives, God will work for our good as long as we live Him. So it's such an important lesson here. So if we love God, nothing can test us. Nothing can put us on trial. No circumstances, no just sufferings, no just encounters in our life can put us on this trial because we love God. We completely trust our Lord. We put everything into the right perspective. So I just want to say, Lily is really a Christian who loves the Lord, who loves the Lord. When other people called her right after that accident, her answer was, thank Lord, so I can have a few days of rest. And one co-worker called Lily also, and this co-worker cried on the phone because I felt very bad for her because of this unfortunate accident. But when the phone call was over, and Lily told me, said, I don't understand why she cried, because I'm so thankful to the Lord. The Lord has a better plan for me. The Lord knew everything. So it is not without His permission that this thing happened in my life. So I'm happy, I'm satisfied, and I have peace and rest in the Lord. So brothers and sisters, this is a beautiful example of Lily as a Christian who loves the Lord that set before us. So if we really love the Lord, then we do have this unshakable kingdom of heaven in us. So that's why the Bible said it's an unshakable, unwavering kingdom of God. So if we love the Lord, then no matter what happens in our life, no matter what attacks, what tragedies we might have along our way, then we will always come out victorious because we have this unshakable kingdom of God in us. So when we have these difficulties, when we have suffering, when we have problems, when we have pains, we are the lesser part of the body. Remember, in those times, we are the lesser part. We are the part that lack honor. But God promised also, God wants to treat these parts of the body specially. God wants to give them special honor. So do not be afraid of these painful things. Do not be afraid of death. Do not be afraid of all these sufferings and afflictions it might come our way in our lives, because God is with us. God is with us. God will use these things to work for our good if we love Him. So Christianity is not something like, it's not formality. It's not every Sunday morning when you come to the church, listen to a sermon, then you go home. So the important thing is we come to church to gain truth. We come to church to be shed the light of truth. So we need to open ourselves. We need to make ourselves so God can come into our life to change us, to form us, to mold us into His image. So in spite of this bad accident, our sister Lily can still have this peace and rest, and she is still very joyful before the Lord, and also before our fellow Christians. We can all just testify to that. Just like in that story, the young boy's weakness is because put into a good hands of the yoga master, he changed it into his own advantage. So because his lack of left arm, so people cannot grab hold on him. So people cannot just drag him down to the floor. People cannot just simply wrestle him down. Instead, on the other hand, just contrary, he just came out victorious. He put down all his opponents. So because of his lack of forearm, because of his weakness and disability, the master put this disability into the young boy's advantage. So when we talk about it's God's will to mold us into the image of Christ, then through what? Through what? Through these tough situations, through these sufferings in our lives, through these problematic phases in our lives, through a lot of unhappy things in our lives, so God can mold us into His image through suffering. Last time I said, Satan wants to attack us. He attacks us through different ways. One way and one channel is from the temptations of this world. This is one way God wants to take us into His captivity. So the worldly temptation involves we want to make a lot of money. We skip church just to work on weekends and stuff like that to make more money, to get a double pay, triple pay. So temptations of this world is one way Satan uses to draw us away from the love of the Lord. The second way is suffering. Through tragic happenings, through accidents, through sufferings in our lives, Satan just draws us away from the love of the Lord, because he wants us to complain, to grumble against our fate, to complain about our life, and even to complain against our God. Because when we are faced with sufferings and the problems and the tragedies, it's so natural. It's simply our human nature. We will complain. We will grumble. So that's the second way Satan wants to draw us away from the love of the Lord. That's why in our lives we often encounter some people who went through a lot, who suffered a lot in their lives. These are people who have a very, very strong character. These are strong people, strong Christians. Why? Because they suffered a lot. The suffering are oftentimes disguised blessings. They can make us a stronger person and stronger Christians. like I said, through these sufferings, God can use these sufferings also. Through these sufferings, God can make us a stronger Christian. God can train us to be better soldiers for the service of the Lord. So the young boy's story really just taught you and me a good lesson. We need to obey God. We need to just submit ourselves to the plans of our Lord. So if we just obey and follow the instructions, follow whatever the great master has set out into our lives, and whatever routines the master has set before us, we just simply obediently follow. We obediently practice. We just learn what the Lord has laid out before us to learn. Then we can come out victorious. And like that English blind Christian I mentioned before, because he obeyed the Lord, because he had a very thankful heart and the right perspective of his spirit before the Lord. So the Lord used him to create this language for the blind people. So the Bible said, if you love the Lord can use you. Not only that, the Lord will just add a special honor to you because you are the lesser part of the body. I know quite a few people are like that. One particular Christian man I know, he grew up in the orphanage, but spiritually and emotionally he was so healthy. Even though, despite the fact that's a very bad environment he grew up, but when you just talk to this and when you communicate with this person, you have this feeling, this is a very healthy, very joyful person, and he is spiritually and emotionally very, very godly-like and very healthy. So if you obey, if you make yourself soft in the hands of the Lord, then Lord can make you an upright person, a healthy person. And we all know the background of Fanny Crosby. He is another blind Christian. And this blind Christian, we all know, he has penned almost thousands of hymn songs. And all his songs out of his pen are very, very bright, very happy, very encouraging. And it is also so thankful to the Lord. He thanks the Lord. He prays the Lord. And he just gives his heart to the Lord. He opens his heart to the Lord. And he just lifted his head up to the Lord. Praise him all the time. So when you just sing his song, all these songs are full of love, full of joy, full of gratitude. And once in his life, other Christians just talked to him, said, well, they have a divine healing conference coming up in the nearby area. They just told him about it. They kind of wanted him to go and to have his blindness healed. You know what his answer was? He said, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to go because I know today I'm blind, and that's good. God used my blindness for his purpose, for his advantage, and for his plan. So he already used me to do great service for him. Why should I need to have my eyes opened? And you know what, you guys, I want to one day, one fine day, my eyes will be opened. I want to that day and that moment be the moment. The moment my eyes are open, the first one I want to see is my Lord, is my God. So this was the answer of Fanny Crosby. Often we Christians, we have our views and sights, and our eyes are often attracted by so many different things on this world, so many colorful things in this world. So our attention, our hearts are oftentimes is attracted by these things. Often our eyes are attracted by so many different things of this world. The movies, the new cars, the new computers, the new machinery, all the latest devices for enjoyment of our lives, of our homes, all that. But for the blind people like Fanny Crosby, because their eyes are permanently closed in this world, so they are spiritually more sensitive to the teachings of the Lord, to the love of the Lord, to the calling of the Lord. So that's why Fanny Crosby just wrote so many beautiful songs, beautiful hymns to praise the great Lord. So I would say in Fanny Crosby's case, even though his eyes were blind, but we all know in his spirit, he sees very clearly. On the contrary, we Christians today, we have our sights. But we all know many Christians today, we are blind spiritually. We are completely blind spiritually. Remember the story of Saul? Saul, when God shone his light on Saul on the way to Damascus, and he became blind. He became blind because before he had this worldly sight, but the Lord just taught him a lesson. Even though Paul had a perfect sight, but he was spiritually blind. So now the Lord just covered his sight, so he could concentrate for 3 days before the Lord to just re-examine his spiritual life before the Lord. So Christian brothers, we need to focus on the Lord. And when we encounter different tough people, problems in our life, we need to focus on the Lord. Let the Lord shine His light into our hearts. He will reveal to us, these are the channels, these are the means through which He is training us. He is molding us into His image. So when we're talking about spiritual warfare, one basic thing we all need to do is to focus on the Lord, is to concentrate our love on the Lord, to just spend our love on the Lord. We need to just turn to the Lord all the time. We need to draw near God every day, focus on the Lord every day. It is so difficult for a modern time Christian to do that because there are so many worldly things which is using our attention and focus, using our energy. So it is very difficult, but you and I need to make a decision. You and I need to strive to do it. To make up my mind and proclaim in the presence of the Lord, help me to draw near you. Lord, help me to focus on you. Lord, help me to spend time in private with you. So our emotional wounds, our hurt, our suffering can really be used by God to work for our benefit. To work in our advantage, because every suffering, if we leave it to the hand of the Lord can use it. It can become a disguised blessing to us. If my mother never wanted me during her pregnancy of me, yes, that is something bad. But if I just thank the Lord for that, I just give it and leave it to the hand of the Lord. Lord can use it to make me more Christ-like, more God-like. So same thing happened, maybe a member of the church, maybe a family member, all these people are giving me a hard time. These people are just inflicting wounds into my spirit. Let's come to the Lord, to leave it to the hands of the Lord. Let's praise the great name of our God. We can pray, God, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for this person. Lord, I thank you for that person. Lord, I thank you for this affliction. Lord, I thank you for this wound. Lord, I thank you for this suffering. Yes, it's bad. It feels very bad. It really hurts badly. Lord, but I thank you because you will help me. Lord, I thank you because you will treat me specially. Lord, I thank you because you will add a special honor to me. Lord, you will just really make me a better person. You will make me a better Christian. You will make me a courageous, more courageous soldier for your service. And maybe you are thinking, well, I'm not a person with a word. I cannot stand up and give a sermon. Lord, I do not have a good voice, so I cannot sing, lead a worship service, can't sing songs to praise your name, and all that. And I'm a person pretty much with no gifts, no talents at all. Just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Because of that, because you are a person, nobody notices you. Because you seem you are never up there in the spotlight. Because of that, people will feel more comfortable to talk to you, to open up themselves to you, to share their secret pains, their sufferings to you, because you are not someone who is in the spotlight. Because you are someone who is normally unnoticed by the general public. So people like to come to you to share their problems with you. So God can use you. So no matter who you are, God can use you. As long as you love the Lord, as long as you have a good perspective before the Lord, God can use you. God can use the lesser part. Like the Bible verse promises, the lesser parts are indispensable. Indispensable for the body. So no matter who you are indispensable for the church. So there's a purpose for God to create each and every one of us. If you are someone who suffered a great deal, if you did, then thank the Lord for it. Thank the Lord for it, because you can really become a blessing for other people because you suffered a lot, because you knew what sufferings are about. You knew the suffering. You knew how people feel. You knew how people's emotions changes under suffering. So you can really become a blessing to these people who suffer at a moment. So you can become a lesser part. You can become the so-called the weak part of the body. God can use you because of your suffering. Well, believe it or not, that's the way how God operates. That's the way God just works. Just look at the black people. These black people, and their hair looks a little bit funny, and their skin color, because it's so dark, no matter what clothes they wear, it does not look as good. But because of these, God treats them specially. God adds special honor to these people. Look, black people, they are born with very good sense of rhythm. They are very good musicians, and these people, when they sing songs, they have a very good voice. They have very good intonation. When they sing songs to praise God, and go to the black churches, try out. You know what I'm talking about. They sing songs very beautifully. Also, they are born with an innate ability, innate skill to dance. They dance very well. They have this natural aptitude. They dance very well to praise the Lord. So because these people, they are lesser parts of the body, so God adds a special honor to these people. But if instead, on the other hand, they just complaining, they complain about their skin color, they complain about their weaknesses, they complain about this lack of acceptance by the society, all that, then they can become a tool. They will gradually become the tools of Satan. Satan can use them now, because they grumble, they complain, because they do not have a spirit of thankfulness, they do not have a spirit of gratitude, they do not have a spirit of rejoice before people, before God, then Satan will use them. So I love this song very much. The song's title is, God, you are not done with me yet. You are not done with me yet, because you want to continue to bless me. You want to continue to use me. So I love this song so much. You are not done with me yet. So Christian brothers and sisters, let's all rise. Let's all just praise our God. Let's say to our God, Lord, you are not done with me yet. You want to continue to use me. You want to continue to bless me. You want to continue to use me to glorify your name, to raise your name on high. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. So when you come again, you will be satisfied because of me. And I, because who I am, because who I have been, I put a smile on your face. Lord, make me such a person. Make me such a person to make, to give you satisfaction, to make you happy, to make you that think you did a good investment in me as a Christian. So I have been a good Christian for you. I have been a courageous fighter for you. I have been a good instrument in your hand. So you really did use me to glorify your name. You did really use me to bless the people around me, to bless the people along my way of my life.